All right, welcome back to Ask the Pastor. And still standing on the word, the scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We do not claim to know it all. And that's why we're here to also hear from you, get your feedback, and dine and look at biblical answers for biblical questions. Remember, this is not a program to call in for marriage counseling. It's not a program to call in for prayer. And it's not a program to call in for dream interpretation. So let's look at the scriptures and let's stick to the focus, which is 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Still your brother Gosin Uba, and still with me is Pastor Moses Alu. Shalom, sir.
Shalom.
All right, so we have questions coming in. So let's have the questions as they come in. This is from Sister Obehi from Italy. And she says, Shalom, sir, is it possible for one who received the Holy Ghost to turn away from the faith or to backslide? Sister Obehi from Italy is asking.
It's not possible to turn away from the faith.
Okay.
It's not possible, but you can backslide.
Okay.
And this is backslide. Another word for backslide is beset.
Okay.
Which is what we see in Hebrews chapter 12.
Okay, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1.
Verse 1.
And it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses,
yes,
let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset
us. That is, gets us backsliding.
Mm. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Yes. Lay aside every weight. So there are some weights that you can carry upon yourself that will get you backsliding with the Holy Ghost. So you have to walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Bible says so. Galatians chapter 5.
Okay.
Walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 16.
Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Why?
For the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would.
So you can have this. It's only one that has the Holy Ghost that has a choice to walk by the Holy Ghost or walk after your flesh. God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Sister Obehi from Italy. Okay, we have other questions coming in, and this is from Germany. Definitely, we have messages coming from all around the world. And Brother Bethel from Germany is saying, Shalom, sir. And Brother Uba, we say shalom to you as well. Say, sir, who first died, Judas or Jesus Christ? Because me and a brother was talking about it, and he said Jesus first died. I showed him Matthew chapter 27, verse 1 to the end, or to verse 1 down, that Judas first died, and Acts 1, verse 15 to 20. So I'm not really clear, sir. Did Judas use the money to start a ministry? That's another question. So the first question is, who first died?
No, when Judas saw that he had betrayed Christ and they were going to hang him, he died even before Christ was crucified, because he noticed they were going to kill him. And
yes,
that was when he really regretted.
Okay. Then the second question is, did Judas use the money to open a ministry?
No, he... The account is clear. Yeah. He took the money back to the people that gave him.
Yes.
Remember, they were the, call them the council, that gave him the money to identify Christ. So he took it back to them, and they said, we have given you, we cannot, you know, he dropped the money there.
Yes.
He didn't go to start a ministry. And please, you don't use money to start a ministry. Nobody uses money to start a ministry.
Okay.
Don't say you. Ministry begins with, you know, with a grace that God gives you, and not with money.
All right, ministry begins with a grace that God gives you.
When God calls, He doesn't give you money; He gives you the anointing, the grace, and subsequently, all other things that you need, including money, He will supply it when it is needed.
Amen. All right, that's something for someone to meditate upon.
Okay, but if I don't have the money, how will I buy a microphone? Must you preach with microphone? How can you start preaching with microphone? Did Jesus preach with microphone?
Okay.
Did the apostle preach with microphone? Microphone will come when you need it. And it is the rich You are just starting and people have not gathered. So your voice is not as strained. You want to do one-on-one evangelism, you need microphone. Or you want to start a type where you just stand in the street and make noise and cause attraction. You do that when you have the ability to have the instruments. You know, if you have the money on your own, you want to buy the instruments, but don't look at it as such a need as to be acquired first before you go into the ministry. This church started with a round table, four of us. And as we witness about, people begin to believe and they come in. Before we thought of cheer, before we thought of other things. And then we started growing. Before we now left where we were to a bigger place. And then we now saw that we needed even a much bigger place. And it was good that we have our own place. So you grow.
I have a call. Sister Agnes from Abuja. Sister Agnes, God bless you. Please go on with your question. God bless you. Shalom, please go on with your question.
John 7:24.
Okay,
it says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Okay.
7 what?
24.
Okay.
John 8:15.
Okay.
Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man.
Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judge. And chapter 8, what?
Chapter 8, verse 15.
John 8:15.
Okay.
He said, you judge after the flesh. I judge no man. So, I'm trying to ask about our outward view.
No, we
just confide to people on the hearing of the thing.
Okay.
So I want to ask about that. But what this little chapter means. So I don't understand it. So I want to know more about it. About putting on hearing attachment.
What we are, the scriptures you are quoting here has nothing to do with us telling women how to dress. Where you read in John chapter 7 and John chapter 8 has nothing to do with your appearance. That's not what that place is teaching us. If you are trying to get the scriptures to support your painting and dressing like a prostitute, the Bible tells us that there is the attire of a harlot. And if we see somebody by your dressing, we say you are a harlot, then you said we should not judge anybody after the flesh. That is not the meaning of that scripture. A Christian must dress decently and must dress moderately. And there are things that are strange in the Christian faith. We are not supposed to put any mark on our skin as Christians. We are not supposed to put a hole in the ear. Putting hole in the ear is not what differentiates a man from a woman, the gender. And he says it is the heathens that do that. It is the Ishmaelites that do that. Because they are children of a slave, the slave woman. And in Israel, you can see that in Exodus chapter 21, anybody they see with a ring in Israel, it's a symbol of identification of a slave that refused freedom, and he remains like that forever. And the same thing too, when Jacob was told to go to Bethel and worship God and fulfill his vow, the first thing he did was to tell the people to put away his family, put away all the strange gods you have in your midst, because we are going to the presence of the Lord. And among the things that we are put away, it included earrings, because it is strange in Israel. So when you see that, but more importantly is the dictates of the Holy Ghost. You get the Holy Spirit and it will confirm what we are teaching you. But if you are sure you have the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit does not condemn you, then keep wearing whatever you want to wear. as the spirit that you've received leads you. So, but don't use this as the scripture to say we should not judge. And when we preach, we are not judging you. We are only telling you the mind of God. It is helping you to live a life of sanctification, of holiness, a life pleasing before God. And we know that the Holy Ghost has told his children, don't put on those things. Look different from the world. By your appearance, let the people know your identity, that you are of Christ, in addition to your character and display of Christ-like qualities. And that is what is expected of us. God bless you.
All right. God bless you, our sister. God bless you. So we have other questions coming in. And this is Sister Margaret from France. Sister Margaret is asking, Shalom Church, is grieving the Holy Spirit a sin?
Is it because you cannot pronounce the second and that's why you just stop at the first one?
I don't want to murder someone's name. All right, so Sister Margaret from France says, Shalom Church, is grieving
Sister
the Holy
Margaret,
Spirit.
Sister Margaret, Osai Bobo.
Okay. She says, Shalom Church, is grieving the Holy Spirit a sin unto death? And what if someone grieves the Holy Spirit by resisting him? Can the person repent? Thank you, sir.
Look, to grieve the Spirit of God is to live a life of sin.
Okay.
To disobey him is sin. So you grieve is not a sin unto death. Sin unto death, we have taken that as, you know, teaching. In our teaching. If you blaspheme, to call him devil. And not just calling him devil, but you are calling him devil because you are jealous of what he is doing through somebody. That is what makes him blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. So to grieve not the Holy Ghost, whereby ye are sealed. Ephesians 4 verse 30. See the context it is used there so that you will understand
Ephesians
what
4
is,
verse 30.
Is saying.
It
Ephesians
says,
chapter number 4. Mm-hmm. And I want us to see how you can see how you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Go straight to verse 26. So that
the 26. We'll be ye angry and sin not.
Anger.
Let not the sun go down upon your wrath.
If you anger.
Go
on.
Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no
stealing.
More. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good.
Verse 29.
29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying.
Then verse 30.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sinned.
How do you grieve him? Verse 31.
Let all bitterness and
wrath
and anger and clamor and
evil speaking
be put away from you.
And what?
With all malice.
So when you live this type of life, you are grieving the Holy Spirit that is in you. God bless you.
All right, Sister Margaret. I think there's a second question. I don't know if we answered from Sister Margaret. Okay, we say, what if someone grieves the Holy Spirit by resisting him? Can he repent?
Of course. All this you can repent from it. And the Holy Ghost will be happy with you. The essence of it all is to repent. That's it.
All right. All right, so we have another question. Oh, still Sister Margaret from France saying, Shalom Pastor Moses. Say, you said in one of your preaching that the devil doesn't have authority on our mind, neither can he read. But some people have blasphemous thoughts in their head, which I have, and even some people have thought that they should curse God. Now, to overcome it, we need to rebuke it. But is it the devil sending dafts to our head?
No,
for us
it is not.
Guilty?
For us to feel guilty. No, it is your flesh, it is your mind. It's not everything that your heart talks that you attribute it to devil. The carnal mind, that is to be carnally minded, is enmity with God. Devil has no part in this one. It is because you are allowing your flesh to guide you, to rule you. And when devil sees somebody in that estate, then he can take advantage of it and continue. But it first begins from your carnality. Carnality is not devil. Carnality is the effect of what your eye sees, what your ear hears, what your nose smells, what your mouth tastes, what your hand feels. The five senses, the effect of it is the result of living by your Five senses. Not allowing the Spirit of God to guide you. Subjecting your flesh to the Spirit of God is called carnality. Satan has no hand in it, and you have the ability to stop it by being spiritually minded. That is why you load yourself with the word of God. It's not everything that is devil. You use devil there to find a way of escape. Devil will tell you, I wasn't there. Yes.
All right, God bless you, Sister Margaret from France. All right, we have another question. Still Sister Margaret from France. Saying, if telling somebody that speaking in tongues is fake, is it blasphemy against the Holy Ghost also?
Before you say it is fake, it means you have reason to say it is fake.
Okay.
Because the Bible tells us that the spiritual man judgeth all things.
Amen.
So what will you use to judge whether something is true or false? It is by what he is saying.
Okay.
And the fact that he's speaking in tongue and you are not understanding what he's saying does not make it false. The only thing is, he should not operate it in a way that calls your attention to listen and you hear nothing.
Okay.
So that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Apostle Paul tells us how to use that gift of speaking in tongues. So stop condemning anything of the Spirit. You are asking, is it blasphemy? It is blasphemy if
you know
that it is real and you call it fake. It is not blasphemy, it is ignorance, but it can also be sin. But it's a sin that is forgivable, that you can repent.
All right, second question from Sister Margaret says, what was Jesus before he came to earth? That is quite bogus.
What was Jesus before he came to earth? The answer is in John chapter 1 and verse 1.
John 1 verse 1, and it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Verse 14.
Okay, 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us,
and
we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father.
And that is Christ Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
That became flesh. So in the beginning was the Word. Where was he? The Logos. The Logos is the thought of God. Jesus was in the mind of God. Jesus was in the thought of God. Jesus was where we all were.
Amen.
Before we were made manifest.
Amen.
We were all together with Jesus where he was before he was made manifest.
Amen.
We were in the mind of God.
Amen.
And so that, because he said, in the beginning, was the Word.
The Word was with God.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word.
So when did he choose us? I think that the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13 or 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13.
The 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 13.
What does he say? It
says, but we are born to give thanks, probably first.
Go ahead.
Okay, that's but 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 13.
Yes.
But we are born to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning.
Again, because
God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation.
That beginning is the same beginning that in the beginning was the Word. That Word, the Logos, the thought of God, that beginning included us also.
Amen.
God bless you.
All right, God bless
you. So
it
was in the mind of God. Was in the mind of God.
God bless you, Sister Margaret. Thank you for loading us with questions.
He was not sitting on the throne with God, though.
Okay.
He was not in the Garden of Eden, though. He was not among the us that were in Genesis 1:26.
Okay.
He was only in the mind of God. And we will talk about that more on Sunday as we continue the teachings we are taking now.
All right. God bless you, Sister Margaret. Okay, we have other questions coming in, and this is Mary, Sister Mary from Cameroon. Says, Shalom, Pastor, I am blessed by your programs. Firstly, I wish to find out how does Revelation 10:7 affect us, whether it's with Abraham or the vile angel.
It does not affect we, the bride of Christ, in any way, because that takes place only after we are gone home.
Okay.
Next question.
All right, the next question from Sister Mary says, secondly, the same Revelation 10:7 says, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. Is William Branham among those prophets?
No, the mystery of God that was revealed to his servants,
the prophets,
the prophets will be rounding up Now, this is servants, the prophets here, are men that spoke of this mystery.
Okay.
Both in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. Everyone that had a revelation of this mystery is included in that verse 7. So, and so it includes William Branham, and it includes any other person that has a revelation of this agenda. Apostle Paul had that revelation, and help us to be, you know, in line. Yes.
All right. See, Sister Mary, question 3 from Sister Mary says, thirdly, once when William Branham was baptizing, a voice spoke, as John was sent to forerun the first coming, you are sent with a message to forerun my second coming. Was it a lie? Thanks. Praying for you and Bright TV. Sister Mary from Cameroon.
Why will I be asked that question? It's the testimony of William Branham. It's not, nobody has come to tell us that they had it. It was a revelation he personally received. And it is about his ministry. So, why will somebody say it's a lie? I don't expect that he will lie. So, it is not what you say you had. It's not any claim of a revelation of a ministry you have. It's what you do that will confirm what your ministry is.
Amen.
So, your question is clear. You're asking, is it a lie? It's only God that will know whether he's lying or not. But I don't believe that he will lie. He may have received it, but, you know, that is his personal revelation. And I am not following him because he said so. I am following him for what he will do to forerun the second coming of the Lord. You know, so whether he said it or he doesn't say, because a lot of people do unnecessary arguments about that. And so much emphasis is given in quoting what he said as if there are witnesses to it. Nobody till date has come to tell us he was there the day it happened. And it is not people that were given that testimony that they were about the baptismal pool, and this is what happened, and there was stampede, because everybody, of course, to see, according to the testimony of William Branham, that statement, he said there were over 5,000 people around the Ohio River.
While he was baptizing,
and while he was baptizing the 17th, you see, he had a baptismal session, I baptized 500 people. And so I have been there to see that river in Jeffersonville. But what I'm saying here is that while they were there, it was William Branham that saw it. And so it is his own revelation. And many more things he saw. He told us angel visited him. Yes. He told us so many other things that he said he saw. And then that is his testimony. So for anybody to say he's lying, I think it's unnecessary argument. It's unnecessary argument.
All right, so we have a call, okay, from Brother Ede Gbendu, okay, from Akwa Ibom State. God bless you, our brother, from Akwa Ibom State. Shalom, and God bless you. Please go straight to your question.
Ede Gbendu.
Yes, good evening, sir.
God bless you, sir.
Please, I am a follower of this message, and I thank God that God has brought me into this fellowship. There is a problem I'm experiencing in my home.
Okay.
I was in a business of God. And it is from there that I got this life.
Okay.
I withdrew from that church and I withdrew my family. Because of one thing or the other, I've been to several end-time message churches and they are not giving me what I have seen in that family. So I decided that I should withdraw and remain online.
Wow.
And I my spirit is fulfilled. I feel refreshed. I feel edified when I worship online.
Okay.
But that's the issue is my wife is finding it difficult to worship with me. All her mind is always set on why don't we go and worship here? Why don't we go and worship there? Why don't we worship here? And even as you speak, though her presence should not sit, she's not in even now. But of all the time I'm always able to attend as a pastor, she's not always interested. And each time the message is on Sunday, that's the time she will be sleeping.
Okay.
She will be sleeping each time that you are about to give the message. So I'll be asking her, why should it always be that when the message is about to start, that's when it will catch you? What's the problem? Should you need to stand up or something? I'll be tapping her, even my children will be tapping, nothing is missing. The overall impression is that she's not just interested in this message the way I follow you. And I don't actually know how to solve that, how to solve our problem.
Brother, and Devo, which part of Akwa Ibom are you?
He caught a penne.
Okay. I feel, I understand your feeling. Now, can you listen to me very well, my brother?
I'm hearing you, sir.
There is something that goes with a revelation. When a man gets a revelation, if it is a genuine revelation from God, a higher revelation from God, that one of the effects that that revelation does is that it enables you to bear with those who have not yet caught it.
Amen.
Okay.
Now, you see all this one that your wife sleeps during question and answer, during vigil, during anything online, It is her own way of protesting to you. She has obeyed you as her husband. She is missing fellowship.
Yeah.
She cannot understand this, your idea of come and sit before a television set. Mm-hmm. She cannot understand it. Therefore, but she is an obedient woman.
Mm-hmm.
You have withdrawn her from your denomination. She followed you. But you must go somewhere because she wants to have company. She wants to associate with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so, but to obey you, she remains. You can force a horse to the river, but you cannot force that horse to drink that water. That's what she's trying to tell you. Now, this is my counsel for you. If I were you, I will allow her to go to worship where she wishes to worship. If I were you, I would allow, always remember that salvation is a personal thing.
Yes, sir.
And God will not hold you responsible because your wife did not believe. And the Bible even permits us that if your wife refused to believe what you believe and decide to stay hold on to what she hold on to but still want to be your wife, that you should not divorce her.
Yes.
You see,
I feel it is my obligation to let my wife sit by my side and to lead my family, just as the scripture says that, you know, you are expected to raise your family, or Bishop is expected to raise the family with all subjection.
Brother, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
I understand this, your thought. But let me tell you something here, that when it comes to marriage at this time of the progress of the gospel, the extent that we have reached, Christianity has gone beyond that, brother. It is homegoing time. You are to play your part when they are at home with you. If you have seen a higher revelation, then let your higher revelation reflect on the way you relate with them. If it is revelation that made you to live and not an ego, to leave your former church, then you will stay and prayerfully you know, share what you have seen in the best way you can with your family. Amen. When they are home, allow them to go there and see what they see, so that when they come home, you will open your Bible and show them the difference between what the Bible said and what their own church is doing. Mm. Prayerfully, with love.
Yes, sir.
Carry them, go and drop them in the church in your car, and come back and sit down. When they come back, what did you learn today? This is what we learned. Is this what happened? But in that your church, this happened. But can't you see, contrary to the Bible? On their own, one day they will come and say, this thing that pastor is saying is true. It's not heaven we want to go. You say, okay now. So why not listen to Pastor Moses? Ask him this question. He will make it clearer for you. Now you keep that. Show them love. Not draconian. I am the head. I am this. Brother, no. When they say that Abraham, God say he's sure that you bring his family in the way of the Lord to fear him. That is, but Abraham does not have an ability to convert anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You, no man has ability to convert anybody. I remember,
remember
that she's believed that church is a church. So, and when you move to one entire church, she move with you. You move to another one, she move with you. So she's now fed up. It's like you have no stand. That is why she said, allow me, I want to have fellowship. If you don't want to have, allow me to have. My counsel for you is to allow her. And then you,
but that,
yes.
But that is not supposed to be my responsibility to put her in the right track.
I am telling you how to do it. I've just told you how to do it. It's not by forcing her to come that she will see revelation. Revelation is not given by force. It's by persuasion. It is with wisdom. Because you want to catch a fish, you go with a naked hook. You don't do that. One hook that we use in catching people is love. Understanding. Bear with her. You were all there together. You saw something. Except, you know, you are the type of husband that is so dictatorial until you will not consider the feeling of your partner in dealing with them. You will not be held responsible if you have shown her the truth and she decides to turn it down. You are free before God.
It's okay, sir. But please, can I ask you some other questions?
Go on.
This one is from the night time. I know you were Muslim.
I was not. Okay, let me hear.
And you came to the Muslim church and you belong to the denomination. Peter, I want to ask you, your name now is from Moses Ali. Then, as a Muslim, were you Musa Ali that you now change to Moses Ali? I would like to know what was your name before you became a Christian? Because you are now Moses Ali. Were you Musa Ali? Because I know Muslims, Musa is Moses. That's what they call it. Because
Let me quickly tell you something. It's very, very important that I tell you, because you're asking a personal question now. And many people don't know this aspect of me. I come from a family that are mostly Muslims, but we also have Christians. And my name was Musa Aliyu Alu. Now Musa Aliyu Alu, that was when the whole family at a time, my father was a king and, of course, a heathen, and the Sadona of Sokoto, then in their Fulani conquer and of the north, the Sokoto Caliphate, were spreading, and anybody that you will retain your position as a king, you must convert to Islam. That was when my father also became a Muslim, and that was when we were now, the children, we are being taught Quran, and naturally we will bear those names. As young as I was then, I was bearing Musa Aliyu. But when I got to secondary school, up till when I got to the Nigerian military school, my name was still bearing Musa Aliyu. But now I had moved to stay with my senior brother in Zaria then, who was a Christian, and he told me that he even gave me that name. The real name is Moses. And so I immediately came back to school and changed that name from Musa to Moses Aliyu Alu. And you can see that Aliyu is still there. I still bear Moses Aliyu Alu. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you, our brother from Akwa Ibom State. And just as we say, every marriage, wisdom is always involved. All right, so the question can still come in. Okay, we have this, and it says, Shalom, Pastor, my name is Koyet from Niger State, Nigeria. I realized that immediately after rapture, then tribulation will take place in Israel according to Daniel and according to the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. So is it only in Israel that the tribulation will take place, or all over the world?
Of course, it will take place essentially in Israel, because the target of the Antichrist is, remember, the seed of the woman.
Yes.
And the seed of the woman is Christ. The woman is Israel.
Yes.
And the Bible tells in Revelation chapter 12. When he noticed he could not get the seed, he persecuted the woman.
Yes.
So essentially the target is Israel. And of course, by the time that he is targeting Israel, the whole world is already behind him. The only people that have reason not to follow him have gone already in the rapture, because they are those that have the revelation that makes them escape from his from his rulership. So he will be in control, and the effect will be worldwide.
All right. God bless you, Kuwait, from Niger State. All right. Okay, we have this from Tanzania. Epimach Damas from Tanzania says, Shalom, Pastor. Can you explain the difference between the word mystery in Revelation 10:7 and secret found in Amos 3, verse 7?
No, the Lord does nothing but reveal the secret
unto his servants, the prophets.
That is Amos
3:7.
But Revelation 10:7, there, what he's saying there is, Amos on is to let, you know, to always know that before God would do, it's referring to judgment.
Okay.
Before he will send judgment, he always reveal it.
Okay.
And to his servants around. That is the reason why he ordains prophets. Before judgment will come upon the earth, he reveal it to Noah. Before judgment will come to Sodom and Gomorrah, he reveal it to Lot. Before Nebuchadnezzar will come to destroy the temple, he reveal it to Ezekiel, he reveal it to Jeremiah, he reveal all those destruction to Isaiah. So that is what he means. But the mystery of Revelation 10:7 is the agenda for redemption.
Okay. All right. God bless you.
So
okay.
They are different.
They are two different things.
And Brother Epimach Damas was the one that hosted us
in Tanzania.
Right. And he's a wonderful brother, doing all he can to spread this present truth in Tanzania. You're watching us in Tanzania. Well, we are supposed to be in Tanzania last year, but coronavirus prevented. As soon as the thing is contained, my brethren will want to meet with us again in Tanzania, this time in Dar es Salaam. And Epimach has assured us they will be expecting us. I promise him we will come. The last one was in a place called Ruvu, but now it will be in Dar es Salaam. God bless you. Always happy to hear from you, Brother Epimach. Shalom.
All right, so more questions are still coming in, and this says, Shalom, Pastor, good evening, the light shiner. May you remain blessed, and may the enemies of the truth in your mouth perish before your very eyes. Amen. Says, I understand through the scripture that the Holy Ghost was released to the church after the resurrection of Jesus Christ in Antioch, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, and in Acts 19, verse 2 to 4. When Paul saw John's disciples and asked them if they have received the Holy Ghost, since they believe, and their answer showed that they have no idea about the Holy Ghost, because their baptism was from John. Question one, why did Luke chapter 2 verse 25 say that the Holy Ghost was upon Simon, since it was after Christ's death that the Holy Ghost was given?
No, you are jumbling so many things. Go back to that first, the first part of that question again.
I understand through the scripture that the Holy Ghost was released to the church after the resurrection of Jesus Christ in Antioch.
No.
Okay.
The Holy Ghost was released in Jerusalem, not Antioch.
Okay. Okay. Then when Paul saw, still with the question.
So, but what you are saying is that Simeon, the dedication of
Jesus,
filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes. It is anointing that is filled with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Remember that the Bible says, among men born of women, it said none has been greater than John the Baptist. Maybe we'll put it to scripture. Matthew chapter.
Verily I say unto you,
yes,
among them that are born of women, they have not risen a greater than John the Baptist.
Notwithstanding,
he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
The reason is because John, including Simeon, they were all under the law. And under the law, nobody had the Holy Ghost in him. They had the Holy Ghost on them.
Amen.
So you have to understand that it takes the perfect sacrifice to release the Holy Ghost to come inside of us, which is grace, the New Testament.
Amen.
Old Testament, the Holy Ghost on them, not in them. That is why we are great. The least is greater than John the Baptist. Because the privilege we have, even John the Baptist didn't have.
Amen.
For the creator of the heavens and the earth to dwell in us.
Amen. Amen. Okay, still on that question. Question two. The disciples of John were believers and they listened to Peter's teaching as a sign that they love Jesus' doctrine. Why didn't the Holy Ghost come upon them automatically as in Cornelius' house?
Well, the disciples of, I think
it's referring to Acts 19.
I know. That's Acts 19.
Yes.
But before Acts 19,
yeah,
we had Acts chapter 10.
Yes.
Now, Acts chapter 10 was Peter using the key that was given to him to open for the gospel to come to the Gentiles.
Yes.
So it was specially designed for that.
Okay.
So, but these disciples in Acts chapter 19 of John that he saw, including those who were in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 8 in Samaria, all these, you know, received the Holy Ghost, you know, in a different way.
All right. God bless. Question 3. If I'm not mistaken, okay. Question 3. Sir, please, my pastor said that your church believed that God was born and that God died and resurrected again. Please, sir, is it true? He also said that you people baptize sick people for healing. Is it true, sir? Although I didn't believe him, as I eat daily meals, so do I eat a listening to your messages as food daily. I love you, sir.
Well, okay. The third question, that we believe that...
they do baptism for healing.
No. The first one is baptism for healing. Nobody baptizes for healing. Nobody does that. If you've ever watched our Tuesday
program.
No, it's not a doctrine. We don't teach that. Baptism is for remission of sins. We always tell the people that we overcome by the blood.
Lord,
the blood of Jesus will not speak for you if you are not under the blood, so that you cannot be entitled to the benefit of Calvary when you are not under that blood. And the ordinance for it is water baptism. We teach it as a precondition for salvation. But God's mercy can come up on anybody at any time.
Amen.
But it's expected that after God has healed you, you want to seek to know him. That is the reason why he allowed miracles, signs, and wonders. So it's wrong. We don't teach that.
Okay. Then the other one was saying that we teach that God was born, God died, and God was resurrected.
No. That is not the presentation.
Okay.
What you see, he's quoting us out of context. You see, when people want to disagree with you, they can say anything. The truth about it is that Christ is the mystery of God revealed.
Yes,
this Christ, the Bible tells us, is the son of David. The Bible also, the same verse tells us, that he is the Son of God. Yes, this Bible tells us that Jesus was God. God in the flesh, without controversy, 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. What did he say?
God was manifest in the flesh.
In the flesh.
Justified.
Who was he referring to? Referring to Jesus. So, and Jesus said, and the prophecy for Jesus said, shall be called Emmanuel, meaning what? God with us. And the Bible called Jesus the Almighty. Therefore, who were they crucifying on the cross on Calvary? They were crucifying God that came in the flesh for the purpose of redemption. So it is the presentation, maybe his misunderstanding.
All right.
God was not crucified as such. It is the flesh that God took upon that was crucified in the flesh.
All right. So question four. Question four says, please, sir, explain Luke chapter 2. Verse 34 and 35. This is from Brother Cyril.
What do you mean explain? What is it about it that I should explain? Maybe you have to ask that question again.
Okay.
Tell us what you read there, what you don't understand, then we explain. But to just give a simple explain it, I don't understand what you mean. You have to let us know what you don't understand or what you want to understand about it. So read it again and frame your question very well. God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Brother Cyril. God bless you. Okay, we have this. Brad Joseph from Enugu State, Nigeria says, Shalom, sir. May God give you long life so that you will keep on opening our eyes. Amen. So my question is this, sir. You said that some of this evil prophet of this age is genuine anointing for the purpose of separation.
Yes.
But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 to 12 said it is from Satan. Please explain more.
No. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. From verse 9, is talking about the Antichrist that will come with all lying and deceivableness and things like that. So it's talking about the Antichrist that will come.
Mm-hmm.
But all these prophets, I didn't say all. Mm-hmm. I said some of them, many of them, they are true servants of God with genuine anointing. But that anointing is to delude them. You know, it's a spirit of delusion and to cause separation.
Amen.
So it's a genuine anointing to cause a separation. It's God that gives them that anointing on a false vessel.
Okay.
And so it is. We see a perfect example in Deuteronomy chapter 13. Let's read it.
All right, Deuteronomy chapter 13.
From verse 1.
It says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he speak unto thee.
After that, what does he say?
Saying, let us go.
The sign and the wonder come to pass. That is of God. After that.
Saying, let us go after other gods, which thou had not known, and let us serve
what
them.
What should happen?
Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer
now,
of dreams.
Now, see the reason why God gave that anointing.
For the Lord your God proveth you.
He's giving it to prove you.
To know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your
soul. So who gave that prophet that revelation?
Hmm.
It's God. For which purpose?
To prove.
To fulfill a purpose.
Hmm.
God bless you. And he calls them in Matthew 13 verse 30.
Hmm. Okay.
He calls them reapers.
Reapers.
To cause separation.
Yeah. All right, good evening, Pastor. I'm Chioma from Port Harcourt. This issue of general overseers and their wives, I don't really understand it. Are you trying to say that the husbands should keep their families, especially their wives, aside and bring in other people, leaving the wives they suffered with? Can you explain better? Also, the issue of Cain and Abel. I listened to your preaching as regards that, and I heard you saying that Cain is not the child of Adam, but serpent. I want to really understand.
First and foremost, the issue of general overseer and their wives, after they suffer together, you bring in other people. Suffer in doing what? Suffer in preaching the gospel. When you look at the preaching of the gospel as a business, as an enterprise, then you can speak that way.
Mm-hmm.
When God called a man, he gives him a wife that will help him. He gave Adam Eve to help him. Not to help him in the pulpit. All the Levites that were priests, walking in the temple, where their wives there with them. All the disciples of Jesus Christ that were married, did you see the wives following them? After the Christ died and left, as they began their ministry, where were their wives? Their wives were helping them at home. The ministry we have is not for women, according to the Bible, it's for men. And so the woman, her role is, my wife is in the ministry. And any assignment that I can give her to help me within the ministry will not be given to her because she's my wife, but because she is also part of the body of Christ and has a part to supply dictated by the grace of God in her life. So she's supposed to be around me, and any ability I think she can have within the limit set by the scriptures, I give them to her when I know she can do it best. Not because she's my wife. And she's not going to be rewarded because she's my wife. She's not going to heaven because she's my wife. She's going to fulfill the same condition like every other believer, including me. So please, that idea was injected in on the Western world as time went on. The women have their place, and the Bible spelled it out clearly. God bless you.
All right, Sister Chioma, question two from Sister Chioma, talking about Cain and Abel.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yes. He said, you want to know that, please, I will refer you to the sermon we have preached severally. We call it the Doctrine of the Serpent Seed, the Mystery of Iniquity. Mm-hmm. Please, you can call any of the line, and I'll go to our website and look for that sermon. Or those sermons were titled The Mystery of Iniquity, or The Doctrine of the Serpent Seed, or what we titled The Original Sin, things like that. We explain them there. It's not something we can take this short time to explain. God bless you.
All right, so, okay, this will be the last person for today, Sister Ada Amen from Benue State. God bless you. Please go on with your question. Sister Ada, please go on with your question.
Shalom.
Shalom, and God bless you.
Sir, I have been following you from the street. So I want to collect my water bottle.
Okay.
And I'm saying that I don't know if you go to that.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Benue.
We are in Benue.
Otukpo.
You are calling from Otukpo. Okay, if you give me your phone number. I don't know if you have a biro there, or you send us a text, we will send it to you. The number of somebody you can contact at Otukpo. Let me be sure first. I'm going to give you the number of Pastor Godwin, and then he will direct you who to meet. Okay, then send us a text. Send us a text that you are in Otukpo and you want to have your water baptism.
I
should call the number 070-323-11745. 070-323-11745. Pastor Godwin. I know he's in touch with Otukpo Church, and he will know which number to give you. This is Pastor Godwin. Pastor Godwin will give you the phone number of the pastor because he's in touch with that church at Otukpo. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. We'll call it a day right here. And we're not going to leave you just like that. We're going to have the pastor, Pastor Moses, pray with you. And I trust that as we join faith with you, miracles, signs, and wonders are set to happen.
That's a closing prayer in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I place my hand and join you on the screen if you are also able to place your hand, but maybe on the street somewhere. You only know by this time we are on and you are joining us, hearing us on the radio or wherever means you are using. On your phone, place your hand there as a point of contact, that I pray that the time you have sacrificed to be part of this program today will not be wasted in the name of Jesus Christ. That the Lord God will grant you understanding of his word, open your eyes of understanding, and take you away from error and move you closer to the cross in the name of Jesus Christ. And there is a benefit for people who make such sacrifice, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. May your reward today include healing. Yeah. If anyone touching me now, you'll be part of this program and you are sick. He said, we'll lay hand on the sick and the sick shall recover. As you place your hand on my hand, may that light that God showed me in this same hand that I'm pointing now be released and touch that person that is sick in any part of the body. Mm-hmm. And let that person receive healing. Mm-hmm. And if there be any darkness in you, may that light strike and remove that darkness. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And if there be any curse placed upon you, let that curse be broken. Mm-hmm. If there be any evil covenant working against you, let that covenant be broken. Mm-hmm. And if there be any manipulation of the enemy around you, let it stop. Mm-hmm. In the mighty name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Christ. Let doors of favor that have been closed against you be opened. And let God position you, establish you. Let God cause divine favor to flow to you. And let there be a divine connection. Let there be upliftment and establishment. Let your heart desire that you have been believing God for manifest and manifest speedily in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I bless you with the blessings of goodness. And I commit you into the hands of He who loves you so much. Step down from eternity to time. Went to the cross on Calvary and paid the debt for your redemption. And redeem you. Told you it is finished. I hand you over unto him that he will complete what he has started in your life. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. I pray. Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Shalom.
And amen. Amen. All right. I want to say thank you to every sponsor of the Bright TV and to those who are walking behind the scene. Thank you so much. It's as a pastor. Shalom and remain blessed.